Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we're still looking at the call of God. I'm going to read something quickly from Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, who said, "What is God doing in these last days? He's building strong local churches who learn how to flow and be led by the Spirit." Strong local churches who learn, or who learn, definitely, how to flow and be led by the Spirit. And that's what he's doing. And the reason why that resonates with us is because we can find it in the Word. We can find it in the Word. When Jesus gave the Great Commission and he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. And then they shall speak with new tongues." And then the verse 20 precisely says they went forth everywhere, which means they went to localities. The Great Commission is not carried out in a vacuum. It's not a wish. It doesn't stop with desiring it. It doesn't stop with praying about it. Praying about it is critical. The Great Commission is advanced by our actions. The actions to carry out what he wants. And the pattern is set forth already. In Matthew 28:18, it says, "All authority is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation," which means to teach every nation by grooming them, by training. Then it says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things soever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always till the end of the age." Now, the concept there is very simple. It means that if it says in 20 to teach them, and in 19 it says to train, which means the teaching is training. Training is not just passing out information. Training includes activities. So in the work of discipleship and the work that Jesus committed to the 12 and eventually to us, is not just to give information. And some people don't understand that to give information. No, you actually train. That means there will be activities to practice it. Okay, so when Brother Hagin says, what's God doing last days? To build strong local churches. The local church is that place of training. Where we train. We train for everything. Everything. It's a place where we're groomed. Right? And the word there in 19, Matthew 28, is mathituo, which means practically to mold someone, by what you call an intern, where he develops skills, habits, he develops, values, ethics. He develops skills, values, ethics. He's given a purpose to live for. He's given a focus. And that's what the local assembly is. So the local church is where that takes place. And we'll see a couple of other things about that shortly. I noticed that when Jesus said that, there was no clear cut, okay guys, go and plant churches. But the moment that calling was given, the definitely the implied action is to have assemblies. The center point of the Jewish worship, the center point of their faith, was the temple. Where the temple is that, where people come together, union, where they come together to worship God. The temple was a center point. And you see the narrative from Genesis 28, where Jacob had the vision of the house of God, and that house of God was meant to be in the nations of the world. And he says it will spread to the east and to the west, and no one will be able to number it. So it talks about locations. And You now have Moses built a tabernacle in Exodus 25 and through to 40, and he designed tabernacle. Tabernacle is also where they meet with God, where God shows his presence amongst his people. Then Solomon also built a temple. You know, and we go like that. The tabernacle is the moving temple or temporary temple. So in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David said to Nathan, I think this tabernacle is not fit. Let's build something more permanent. The Lord said, no, you will not build me a house. I will build you a house. You know, and that went on and on in that conversation. So the temple is a window of a sort, a center point of worship, center point of God's covenant. And the temple wasn't just God in their midst. It was the place of worship, the place of the vision, the place of spiritual activity. You know, so the temple was a center point of that. If you talk about the covenant God made with Abraham, it was about the land. The covenant God made with the nation of Israel was about the land. What is it about the land? A place of worship. Why did God ask for a land? Why did God tell them to go to a land? Is so that he will have his temple there. So the concept of the land that he gave to Abraham was about his temple. That's why when they sinned, he exited them. It's his own place. It's his own house. Very similar to the Garden of Eden and the Ark of Noah. We can go on and on. So the concept of temple is to celebrate the presence of God, the covenant of God. So it was a center point of the worship of God. If you look at the four Gospels, many of Jesus' commentaries were around the temple. Many of the things he said, many of the things he taught was around the temple. In fact, the temple was a sign of his coming itself. So it's a center point of worship, a center point of theology, a center point of teaching. You look at the new covenant letters too, you call them the epistles, you see that the temple was a center point of all the conversations, whether it is John, whether it is Paul, whether it is Peter, whether it is James, the writer of Hebrews, the temple was a center point. If every time you find God in, God, the Spirit in, that's temple language, the center point. So everyone knew that. Much of the conversations of Paul in the book of Acts were around the temple, about the temple. So the temple wasn't just a physical building. It was like a window, an identification marker of that covenant God made where he is to dwell in the midst. And Paul will resonate that in talking to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, say, know ye not that you are the temple of God. That was the first know ye not that he said. You are the temple of God. And that wasn't individuals. It was talking to them collectively. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Know ye not. When he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3:15, that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of the living God, the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. That's a collective sense of our worship. So that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he could give instructions about that brother who had his father's word and said, come on, send him out of the meetings. Just like God said to Israel, you know, about the land. So all that motif is present. A New Testament application of the scriptures. So it's not an aside. The physical assembly of people to worship God is called to God's covenant. The physical assembly of people to worship God is called to God's covenant. And when that happens, naturally, you have order. Because the first thing in the Bible you see in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is order. First thing is order. Who is doing what? What are we doing? Orderliness. Order. Things as they ought to be. So let me leave that a bit and go back to Matthew 9, We are still in Romans 12, no doubt. And when Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his own harvest. Said the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And Jesus described the harvest as people. The harvest is plenteous because in verse 36, Matthew tells us it was because he saw the multitude and they were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. Then he says the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. So the harvest refers to people. A harvest definitely is a product of sowing seeds. A harvest is a product of planting. So which means that a church or a ministry or a Christian altogether must be conscious of the harvest. It is the Lord's harvest. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his own harvest. Which means that, as an aside, a pastor must always, always look forward to an increase in laborers. Truth is this, I've said this over the years, we have an abuse, sometimes an abuse or a misuse, where you have one singular person in the midst of so many people, and one singular person is doing everything. I call it an abuse. And there'll be other believers there, sometimes even celebrating the person. Who asked you to celebrate? You are meant to copy the example, not to celebrate. I celebrate you. It's good to celebrate. I didn't say it's wrong to celebrate, but after you celebrate, emulate. They have the misuse where you have many people doing the work of one person. An abuse is one person doing the work of many. A misuse is many doing the work of one person. And that can happen when we have a mighty harvest before us and few laborers. The laborers are few. Now why did he just say laborers are few? Because ultimately, he had just about 12 people, maybe a few others. And he looked at it and said, we need more people. What I'm looking at, we need more people. Which means that Jesus knew he was not sufficient, he himself was not sufficient to reach people. God that became man, alright, had the Holy Ghost on him. Luke 4:18. God that became man of his own, John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, will be held of his glory. Yet he says, with me alone preaching, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his own harvest. Again, I repeat, a harvest is a function of planting. You don't expect a harvest if there's no planting. Planting. So it says that Matthew said that it was like they were like sheep having no shepherd. And Brother Hagin pointed this out and gave gifts unto men. He said, notice that what Matthew said, he didn't say they are like sheep having no evangelist, I mean in his definition, or sheep having no apostle without shepherds. And in Numbers 27, where that teaching or that quote, you can find it, is where Moses, knowing he wasn't going anymore over Jordan, then he asked the Lord, he said, well, since I'm not going with these people, he said, the Lord's people cannot be like sheep having no shepherd. Numbers 27, 17. He said, so you choose a man who will lead the congregation, who will be over the congregation, who will lead them. God always has men. Men. Where we are fine, where nothing is happening, there are no men. When you find men, things will happen. The move of God is tied to men. Not because God cannot do without it, but God has chosen not to. So, having no shepherd. So the local assembly, if it's a place where we come together, and I'll talk to you a bit about local assembly in a moment, where we come together, so we have the general temple, where everybody comes in. Then the Jews now developed what you call the synagogue. The synagogue, sometimes it's bastardized because most of Jesus' arguments or opposition or mockery came in the synagogue. So it has a bad name to it. And same with Paul in the book of Acts. And we now have the book of Revelation, the synagogue of Satan. So there is a way you think a synagogue has different implications. But a synagogue was developed by the Jews. Many times there are different accounts, but the key thing is that it's a mini temple. That is a mini localized temple. That's where the idea of local church came from. The temple is in one place. They now decided that no, we can have, knowing the plan of God to spread in the earth, they now said we can have a mini temple. Not necessarily built with the same structure and all that, in different parts. And it now spread around the world. It spread even into the Greco-Roman world. Every time, of course, they were in exile too, they now had the temple, the mini temple called the synagogue, to ensure that worship continued. So the word synagogue actually means to assemble. It means to assemble in a local place. So the concept of local church is taken from the synagogue. It actually means to synagogue. And you know, when Jesus in Matthew 18:17, when he talked about when anybody offends you, you go to him, tell him he's wrong. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he has not heard you, he said, go with two or three. If he fails to hear them, then he says, tell it to the church. The Greek of that is tell it to the synagogue. The assembly. The assembly. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly together. That word is episynagoge. It's the same word synagogue. So it means the local church. So synagogue is local church. The one around you. Don't forget there is a temple. That is the general place. We can call that, for the sake of this teaching, the body of Christ. But the worship took place much more in the local temples. Call it the local assemblies. And it spread across Judea, Galilee. There were many. And in each of those synagogues, they had leaders, elders. This is where Paul got the theme, because he was a greater proponent of it, of the local assembly. And when they now had multiplied leadership within the worship of God. And the assemblies were for basic things. Teaching and reading of the word, prayer and worship, and general fellowship, where they could practice the Jewish feast of the unleavened bread, the Jewish feast of the first fruits, which are majorly for fellowship and identification. So the synagogue was a place where, and they also called it temple as an alias. A place where you assemble locally, where you are. Alright? So, like I said earlier, when they are in exile, that is they are chunked out of or checked out or booted out of Israel, they would ensure that worship went on, or it had to go on by having the synagogue. Because they knew the plan of God was that his house will be in every nation. They knew that very typically. So they had, you know, those mini, mini temples everywhere. You could have many of them in many places, representing God's plan and idea. So Paul picked on that. You know, and all the apostles, they knew that when Jesus called to discipleship, that was what he was saying. Into all the nations. When he said, go into all the nations, synagogue is in your mind. Go into all the world and make disciples. How do you make disciples? You teach them, you worship, you pray, you fellowship. Where? Where is a synagogue? By assembly. So it follows that when he says to make disciples, we can also detect a codified statement there, codified language, where he has implied that you will assemble. How? By mentioning nations, all the world. That shows you mini temples, localized temples around the world. And the synagogue is for physical assembly. That's why I've said it, and I'm going to repeat myself again. The online church is incongruous with scripture. It is totally, you know, differing from scripture. Grammatically, historically, exegetically, spiritually, theologically, culturally, it makes no sense. Because the idea is gathering. The idea of the temple itself, the idea of the temple is, you look at this very well, God was already in their midst, but he wanted there to be sacred meetings, sacred times, sacred assemblies. So it's not about saying that God is everywhere. That's a stupid statement we all know. But God has chosen a where that will be his place of worship, sacredness, worship, fellowship. So don't look for pragmatism. Don't look for what works. Look for what the word says. It's not what works. It's what the word says. What the word says. I said it back then, but now people can see. And I said that we will not discover so quickly how much of the symptoms of the bacterial nature of the COVID crisis we have seen. Because people began to develop strange perceptions, definitions of Christianity. Someone said, I didn't go to church for 6 months and I was fine. And they were saying it. I didn't give my offering. I didn't do anything. And God, and they were saying it boldly. And I said, there's trouble. This is not Bible. And from there, rather than solve the nature of the backsliding Christians, or the problem, pardon me, churches now develop what can work for the situation at hand. E-church, cyber church, online services, live streaming. They just came up. Zoom services, Google Meet prayer meeting, WhatsApp teaching series, TikTok. I mean, it just came up, which are not bad things if they are means to transmit information. Fine. But to use it to replace, thou art backsliding, O church. Simple. Oh, I mean, you should use every medium to transmit God's word. Every medium. Everyone available. TikTok, tack, tick, ticker, ticky, anyone. Use it. But that is not the assembly. The act of assembly with believers one-on-one, physically, in itself, is your worship of God. Is your worship of God. If this is not urgent and important, I will not be repeating it every time. It's important. In your worship of God. So the synagogue were those local assemblies. Locally, even in the midst of, even when the Jews found out that they had even missed God, they had been, like I said, exiled, they would still find a place to meet. And that spread across the nations. What was it for again? I'll repeat myself. The study of the scriptures, prayers, singing, worship, fellowship, that is the egg together. Now let me mention this. Eating together in the service, listen well, is a culture. It's not a scriptural injunction. What is behind eating together is that we can fellowship. That's the core thing there. The Jewish culture of eating together is to identify. Now, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. We can eat together and all that. But what is behind it is that we are fellowshipping. We are fellowshipping together. Not that you will not turn the church to a restaurant. Or mama put. No. It's the fellowship. Eat together. There's prayers, like I said. And where they keep reading out what is God's plan. What is God's agenda? You know, it's a place where God's plan, agenda is being propagated every time. So when Jesus gave them the Great Commission, let's see it in the practicality. In the practicality, as soon as he left their side, Acts 1:14, they came together in one accord. Was it Romans 12? In one accord. Acts 1:14, they continued in one accord. But what was the core thing? Verse 13. 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up to the Holy. So the first thing is that they picked a place. You can't achieve anything in division. They picked a place. You can't have one accord without such basic features. They picked a place and they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. There was a place. In Acts 2:1, the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. Acts 1:5, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples. Don't miss those key features. There was a mist. In those days, we didn't used to call it church. We call it, who are the men in the mist? All our phrases. So a certain guy in the mist, you know, somebody in the church, say, there's a certain brother in the mist, him being a cool guy in the mist. So in the mist of the desert, that is the word mist, there is a local gathering in one place in one accord, and that continued. You find there is a place. So when they were threatened in Acts 4, they went back to their own company. There is a place. So, the local assembly, the local churches, comes from the fact that we have to carry out God's mission. God's mission. Look at the book of Acts again. Acts 2:46. Acts 2:46. They continued daily with one accord. So notice, they had a place. 1:20. Listen very well. 1:20. They could stay in the upper room, come down, you know, do this one, do that one. But look at verse 46. 3,000 had now been added. And if you follow again, by 47 more were added daily. They now continued in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Which means that Now they've expanded where they met, or where they meet, house to house, breaking of bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Notice verse 47. Praising and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. So the house to house was now part of the church. House to house. In Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up to the temple in the hall of prayer. So they still had that general meeting. Everybody would go to the temple. They now had the house to house. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, they came together, I mentioned that earlier in 24, in one accord. That is the general meeting. In Acts 5 and 42. Now, let me say this ahead of time. When persecution increased, the house-to-house fellowship increased. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house. So notice, in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Every house, which means there is now multiplied ministry. Not just the location, multiplied worship. Of course, at the back of your heart, you will know that that also means multiplied ministry and leadership. House to house. And they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus. Acts 8 and verse 3. And for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. So, when Paul was persecuting the church, he went after the local churches. Every house where they had church. Acts 10 and verse 2. Acts 10 and verse 2. A devout man, that is Cornelius, that feared God with all his house. Acts 12 and verse 12. Acts 12. When Peter was in jail and prayer was made for him, look at verse 12. And he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose son name was Mark, where many were gathering together, praying. So, teaching, fellowship, prayer. It's not that they went there to be watching football. No. They simply continued what was being done in the temple. So, it was in the house of Mary. Acts 16:32. When Paul, in the house of the jailer, Acts 16:32, he spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. All. So the work continued in houses. Verse 40. Acts 16. And he went out of prison and entered to the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren in the house of Lydia, the local churches, Acts 18 and verse 7. And he departed hence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus and worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the assembly. The house of Justus. Acts 20 verse 20. I cease not, Paul now, Acts 20 verse 20. I kept back, nothing that was profitable unto you, showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Romans 16 and verse 5. Romans 16 and verse 5. Likewise, greet the church in their house. The church in their house. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. The church in their house. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The local church in their house. Colossians 4:15. Colossians 4:15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. The church which is in his house. Philemon 1:2. Our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So which means that God has it in mind that we should spread the place of worship, the places of worship. I heard Pastor Adeboye years ago say, where the dream he has for the children of God is that they should have a church in every 5 minutes walking distance and all. So people were upset. I said, why are you upset? That's ambition. That's ambition. Are you taking your own? Sometimes it's just beef. And the man just continue what he was saying. So that's the plan. Because that is God's plan. In every house. And but by the way, this is just me on the side. Paul must have been a real persecutor. He went every house. The guy has zeal, man. That's a full-time persecutor. Every house. So who are those men and women that they use their households? Two things historically can be proven. One, they were the leaders. Two, they were those who offered their homes because they were enough. Historically, they said those places contained between 40 and 50 averagely, particularly the one in Corinth. 40 and 50 averagely. It's not the houses we have today, particularly in Lagos. When a single space that used to be a bedroom now has room, parlor, balcony. You know, myself and Pastor Somi were looking at the project one day. So he now says, I just was looking at him. He said, this place is too big. It's a family project, my larger family project. I said, this place is too big. He said, what I'm seeing here, We can take this. The guy said, in Lagos, this is too big. I was looking at him. So we can have a room here. He said, no. The way he was prepared, he said, just seal up this place. A room here. Then you have the pass. I can see a sitting room here. I was looking at him. Lagos people. They can build in ADs. I create room. I'll make room for two. Lagos. Oh, Lagos. You know, it's not so. The kind of homes they had was able to have people. I mean, if you look at the structure, then you have like a big kind of veranda of a sort, sometimes a big living room. So they had the average of 40, 50 people. So they broke it down. And you notice that in Exodus 18, when Jethro also came to Moses, and he said, look, you are the only person teaching for money. What you are doing is not good. You wear yourself out on the people. He said, why not provide leaders of the people? So when you handle the bigger things, they'll handle small time. Some will be over tens, some hundreds. So that gives you the idea, all right, of that, as it were, democratized, multiplied leadership, multiplied places of worship. That's the mind of God. So when you are in a local church, let me say that quickly, your mind should be there. Thank God for the familiarity we create in church. But you see, if, you know, we are just content with seeing ourselves, then we are creating a cult, not a mission. A mission is that, yes, we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the fact that we know each other, we share the word together and all of that, but then we have a mission that this, what we are doing here, should be done elsewhere. So the concept is clear that God wants there to be multiplied places of worship. Don't mind those who try to criticize the church in Nigeria. They say, they're taking over the warehouses instead of giving people jobs, instead of creating industries. So don't put your frustration on government, on the church. Did you vote for the church? You're just frustrated. I was in a class meeting one day, and I said, all these churches. I said, wait, did anybody stop you from starting your own industry? Said, no. Did you start one and the church closed it down? No. The church found a space and took the space. And there are people in that space that have their own spaces. Don't look for somebody to blame for your poverty, man. The church is not responsible for it. The church is just carrying out its own task. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, the local church is that multiplicity of God's temple space where we have the same activities of teaching, preaching, fellowship, and worship taking place. So, when I'm in a local church and I'm receiving the word, taught the word, insight, and I'm enjoying the move of the Spirit, I should never forget our mission. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. And with me, the laborers should not be few. So I must renew my mind. Romans 12:1, I'm going there again. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. Verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable will of God. So the first word there is worship, sacrifice. I must be available for this. I must be. Which means every Christian worker should aspire to lead God's people. Leading God's people is not a political office. It's not an institutional role or one celebration or celebratory office or title or function or chieftaincy title. No. Leading God's people is service. Leading God's people is worship. So, look at your local assembly and ask yourself, how much of this task have we engaged in? The local assembly. How much of this going to all the world means have many house churches, or call it local assemblies? Go into all the world. Now, the idea of local assembly, let me repeat myself, is not one very pricey venue and then everybody, no. It simply means, like we have seen in the book of Acts, those units of worship, units, we keep breaking it down into smaller numbers, smaller numbers, smaller numbers, smaller numbers, smaller numbers. What's the purpose? So that we can reach more people. So that we can teach more people. So that we can fellowship with more people. So that we can feed more people. So that we can help more people. So that we can train more people. It's not to start to boast about where your church is. Your church member just go somewhere for a two weeks academic training. Immediately you put it on Facebook. We are now in Liechtenstein. And you drop the person's host phone number as your church phone number. People do all those kind of tricks. I know it. The guy just goes, he didn't tell you he was going to do ministry. He travels, went to see an uncle in Sweden. You say, don't worry, go and start a work. Go and start a work. Go and, the guy say, which work? God, go there. The work has started. Just send me your phone number. I'll put it on a flyer. Stop that deceit and nonsense. Your intention is not flyer. Your intention is the work of the ministry. See, I know some people grew up badly, sadly, in churches, ministries where they package things. Packaging, packaging, packaging. That's the packaging. Packaging things, you know, like a commercial outfit. But you have to renew your mind. It's not packaging, it's service. It's service. So the local church will look at, what is the potential of this church to reach more people? Listen carefully. The potential to reach more people are those who are available to reach more people. That's the potential. Jesus found 12 as few. 70 later on, 12 as few is the potential. We have a potential to reach people. But that potential will not, you know, be properly exercised when amongst the 12, we have 6 that are diseased with excusiatis, always giving excuses. Oh no, I want to do this. You understand my position and my situation. Another 4, you know, available and not available. Only 2. So we have an abuse. Abuse. God wants people willing. Said in the day of his power, his people shall willingly sacrifice themselves. If the power of God is really working in your life, the fruit of it is availability. The local church simply means that the general assembly of believers is now broken down into multiplied places. Multiple places. Multiple places. Taking the gospel closer to people. Taking the work closer to people. Taking the church closer to people. That's what it is. It's not to celebrate branches or like we have adopted from America, campuses. Campuses. It's okay. Anyone you call it. No. Is there a need? Yes. Then the local church feels the need. Not that you want to celebrate. So you are now. Someone was telling me. Very, very interesting young man. I said, this brother. They are both pastors. I said, this brother said, there's something you guys should discuss. That you have. I was just saying Matthew 18. Yes, I said, no, I don't have time. Or he said, he only has a church. I have 3 churches. He said, we cannot be discussing. I said, I'm so sorry, Ojiu. I don't know where these young people get these kind of things from. He said, where did you get born again? They have become G.O. Some, what they are looking for is title. 2 years in ministry, Reverend Doctor. Man of God. There's a guy that told me, I should not call him Reverend. He said, now a bishop. I said, let me add Archbishop to it. So that you, I mean, there's no point waiting for that time. Let's just put it now. And his house was not far from my house. And I said, so this is what the bishop is about. Comedian. I too crazy. No, it's walk. Walk, walk. So the local churches have multiplied leadership. When we have local churches, it's because we have multiplied leadership. Why do we have multiplied leadership? More people are available to be trained. That's all. Don't be like some who start a church. They are looking for leaders. That's a strange one. No. It is not the child that comes first, is the parent. It becomes a magic that someone is born and say, I'm looking for the daddy. Parent, then children. So before you start saying, I'm sensing we should start a work. Are there workers? Or you are under pressure. You see your, and you know some of you, you just go on Instagram. Somebody says Instagram is for, I think it's avarice. I don't think so. I'm just saying what they said. And you see some people just putting pictures. Ah, and they say, our church in Lithuania, our church in Kutuwinji, our church, and I look at yourself, we too can do this thing now. Huh? Bro, can you, see, you say you are traveling. Oh yeah, go. No, sir. The need will arise by itself. When you are training people, it will arise by itself. So you don't say, let's go and start something. We'll not look for somebody. No. That's a commercial venture. That's a commercial venture. And don't be in any competition with anybody. Who are you competing with? Who are you racing with? Anytime you are doing commission in ministry, you will be sad. Sadness will be your portion for a long time. Because you will never be happy. There will be another person you will be running after later on. They will be breaking your record, you will be breaking their own. Till there will be no records again. So don't give yourself that headache. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. And don't put yourself around people like that. There's someone that told me, he said, look, you know, in the work of ministry, we have to look at our competition. When he now said, sorry, I meant, no, I took him seriously. The first thing he said was not an error. So I knew that having this kind of person around you, you'll be in trouble. I'm sorry. Say, no. Once the Lord spoke twice, I heard you. I know you are in it for competition. I am not ready for that. I don't want that kind of ministry life where you are saying, so it's not God, what are you saying? It's, what are they doing? So what are they now doing? What can we now do? Leave me out of that. Not part of that rubbish or charade. So don't go and create. Let's start a work. Train the workers. Train the workers that will do the work. So the locals assembly, the church, is a place where we multiply service. We create the activity. I started by saying there's teaching and training. So there must be activity created. If you attend the church I pastor, you should know by experience. From the day you are born again, I start to make you walk. Tom, come and pray. Come and do. Immediately the activity starts. Why? I know where I'm taking you to. And you will know too. I want you to pastor. I don't hide it. I don't couch it. I don't try to disguise it. I've never done it. I'll tell you, I know you are called to the ministry and I want you to pastor. So I say, how do you know? I know. How do I know? I will tell you. I'm not disguising. I've never disguised it. And I will never. Some will say, you know, no, that's what they heard from God. I didn't hear that. And I'm not going to hear it. I want you to pastor. So the kind of training that you'll be giving will be commensurate to the work that you'll be giving. This is the Bible. Acts of the Apostles chapter 6. Look for among you. There are some of the believers like that. Look for among you. They are not among anybody. They are among everybody. 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So which means that from your lifestyle, from your conduct, from your disposition, we will know whether you are available. It's not by raising your hand and praising God. Mm-mm. From your disposition, from your lifestyle, we will know whether you are available. 2 Timothy 2:2. About 1 Timothy 3:1, first of all, he said, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's a good desire. It's a godly desire. It's a spirit-inspired desire. The bishop simply means episcopos in the Greek, one who oversees a place. That's what it is. It's the same word where you have pastor, the same Greek word. The pastor is poimen, shepherd, who looks over the flock. He's also the elder, the one who looks over others. Looks over others. The same way we expect that when you grow to a point, they put you in charge of your siblings. And some of us who are firstborn, divide the food. You took the inheritance of the firstborn ahead of time. Bad elder. A good elder will allow others eat first. Amen! Many of you have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Firstborn, you ate everything. Because that's the time for you to be the daddy of the house. So the elder is that person who we assume is mature. For some people, you are an elder, but you are not elderly. You've been around. 6 years in a church, they cannot commit anything to your trust. Nothing. Nothing. Even the ones that have been saved, just go and bring the person to church. They don't see you again. You have gone say, as I was going, somebody called me. See your life. 6 years. Nothing. We can't even give you inanimate flock. The one not saved by the Holy Ghost, we can't give you. You are useless and unfaithful. Ordinary, stay with this door, shut it. You have answered the call. Why are you so useless? Just stay with the door. Say, how this very urgent call? How this very urgent? 6 years! 6 years! And you know, you say, Lord, I give you my heart. Start with your leg. The heart we cannot see, you are giving him. The leg we can see, you are not giving him. Right now, people say, for the time when you ought to be teachers, there is a time when you ought to be a teacher. We need one to teach you again. You are still putting off your phone. Why? I just had to sort my phone, sir. I need a me time. Me time. It looks like a drink. Me time. Me time. You are not useful. But you should be useful. 6 years, 5 years. There's a time you ought to be teachers. We now need to say, hey, sir, you know, can you imagine? I mean,
it really pained me. I know I'm not supposed to say this. You taught us not to murmur. And I'm not going to. Sir. I mean, we had a naming ceremony. Nobody, sir, in the church came. Even Muslims and idol worshippers came. 6 years in the faith. You are looking for body of Christ in naming ceremony. 6 years. Nobody. I really felt bad. So people saw me. I was coming to church. I didn't come with my car again. Nobody was asking, where is your car? Okay, where is your car? Are you happy now? Where is your car? You know, some things should not be found with you. And even those who are pampering you. We can't pamper you. You are a Christian of how many years? If we didn't greet you, greet yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How can you use that as a basis to leave a church? This is for new converts. Sorry, bro Jide, sorry. Okay, sir, thank you for coming. Thank you. It's really, when you showed up, sir, it really ministered to me. That's a new convert. When you showed up, I really felt, thank you, sir. I love that church. Every Monday, they'll send me text message. Every Tuesday. 6 years in the faith. That is what you are celebrating. You're not well, 6 years. Jesus met new guys. They were fishing in their father's fishing boat. Say, follow me. And they said, so when they finished fishing that night, they said, so where are we going? Jesus said, I don't know. Newcomer said, sir, where are we sleeping? I don't know. I want to ask you too. New combat! So what are we eating? We trust God. Yeah! I sense in my spirit. I sense you. 6 years! 6 years! Even your tongues is twisting. Struggling tongues. You are not available. You are not available. There, imagine, I told Pastor that, sir, I've just been appointed the HOD of my unit at work. And he didn't say anything. I said, what should he have said? HOD Wale? What should he say? You didn't come for prayer meeting. That is what is troubling the pastor. You have no soul that is saved. Even the ones that are saved, you have thrown them back to the world. He cannot congratulate you whether you are HOD or Lego D. That's your business. That's 6 years in the faith. You want us to be celebrating that? No, disciple. In fact, the person discipling you is tired. I'm saying, God, is this a test and trial? That's all I told. I said, look at me. The person was saying, sir, I have this feeling. I have this. I said, come. Don't be a distraction to me. I said, look at your Bible. When they say go into all the world, are you the world? I prefer 1 million people's problem than one person having 1 million problems. Are you the only one? I want to see you, sir. I want to see you, sir. I don't want to see you. Let somebody else see me. I want to see you, sir. Can I quickly see you, sir? Can I see you? The one we saw last week, manifest presence. What did he do with it? Oh my God! Let me see you, sir. Let me see you, sir. Just attention seeker. Let me see you, sir. Fine, Tuesday. I was going somewhere. Sir. Well, serious, sir. So you kept me waiting to tell me how you jumped down from a bus. What do you think I'm doing here? Oh boy, go, walk up. You alone. I want to see you, sir. I want to see you, sir. Ha! I don't want to see you alone. Come with souls, then I'll talk to you. I'm believing God for it. Keep believing. When your faith has worked, come. Be available. Be ready. Be trained. Be trained. God wants his churches everywhere. Where you are. Where you are planning to be. But are you willing to be trained? To be trained. To be trained. To be built with the structure that can help others. Those who will serve in leadership are not problem spotting people. They are not fault finders. They are problem solvers. Look for among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom can analyze the problem. Whom we may appoint over this business. So, nothing to contribute. They just find fault. Remember one noble sister. She came to, I think it was Camp Meeting of Believers Convention. And I just heard her raise her voice. Some people don't even know where they are. They just raise her voice. Then Pastor Ayo was in charge of the tapes. He would go to somewhere in Ikeja overnight to dub the tapes. And he would come back in the morning and be, you know, selling the tapes. People will now queue up. They will say, no, that's my own. No, And then his sister just raised her voice. What is it? Where is my CD? Where is my, I don't take this nonsense. After Holy Ghost meeting. What is it? No. You cannot do this. You are doing this to take a teaching. The teaching cannot grow. How? So I said, what's the problem? I paid for this teaching about 2 months ago. I've been asking Ayo. Yes, I said, relax. Ayo! Where is the teaching? I'm sorry, sir. I went to Kenya. I said, get out the teaching now! He went, brought the teaching. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. As she made to go, I said, come back. Don't go. For that teaching to have taken this long, there is a need. It is your father's house. Since you have seen the need, it's now time to meet the need. Thus saith the Lord, this is your new department. Sir, ma, it's a call of God. Join the department. That was the last time she criticized it. When you are part of leadership, all those analysis, it will become paralysis. When you know what it takes to organize 20 people, and you are sweating like Christmas goat. I think now Christmas, fish. And you are sweating, and you see what it is, and they now say, somebody coming along the way. He was arrested. You say, oh God, I've not even set up the keyboard. Somebody's, you are seeing how it is. You are seeing how it is. Or you pay someone to bring the equipment. The guy off his phone. We had a camp meeting years ago. I lent people somebody the money. Was supposed to give us the money to get the equipment. By the Thursday of the coming on Friday, he now sent what, I think out of 50,000, he sent 1K. Do you call that first fruit? Firstborn? Or a shadow of things to come? So I called the brethren. I said, you know what? We have to do something. We are going to get different people to supply us the equipment. So the first person bought the equipment on Friday. We knew we didn't have money. We knew he was going to go with it on Saturday morning. He'll be angry. We got somebody else for Saturday. So we are ready till Sunday. So we had three people by Monday saying, I'll deal with you this church. I will deal with this church. By the Monday, Tuesday, we had raised the money. Our people were blessed. Amen. She knows what I'm saying. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. People were blessed. People that were blessed did not know what went into their blessing. What is after six is more than seven. Do you understand? When you get rid, you stop all these Christians, you just keep quiet. Most of us were the best parents without having children. He said, no, I won't do my things like that. I'm not going to be like a... And God will not do it. You give it back to a child just like you. Just like you. And you now say, no. You say, to me, you've done it before. He's just using my... There was a guy like that. Two friends I knew. They did business together. And it didn't go well. The other guy got mad. Took riches. And he went on and on. And he knew everything. I said, okay, sorry, sorry. No! This is bad business management. He didn't understand the dynamics. I said, oh, sorry, 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 sorry. So he said, I'm about to start my own business. And I tell you, I've done my business plan. I've worked it out. So. I said, fine. So I told the other guy, I said, let's watch. Said, I'm going to start this one. In 2-3 months, the thing became Old Testament. I said, you see, if they say, go and bring how does it look? That is how it looks. You see practical things. When you start serving, your analysis will change. Experience changes your perception. It changes your perception. All the time. All the time. So I say, I don't understand why this church service is always starting late. I don't understand. And they finish very late. Ask him, have you joined any department? No. That's why we are late. Because if you were part of us, who would have done things earlier, the same person organizing this one, doing that, why will we not be late? Critic, come and join us. Be available. Those who are available are not gossips. Can I have an amen? Amen. All the gist of all the relationships are in your brain. That's why you can't know the word. You can never know the word. All in your head. Gist. Holy Ghost just looking at you. You can't even know in word witness again because it's gist that you have there. Any prompting, gist. Any sensing, gist. 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 Some guys like that, they were so full of gist. They were not having miracle service. They told them to prophesy. Someone said, and they were having a boyfriend that they were, you know, said, tell Tayo to leave one day alone. Prophecy. They were not prophesying gist. That's a church. I'm not telling you stories. I know all of them. One of my one. I said, huh? So they joined our ministry. I said, that's where you are coming from. Ah, and you want to be here? I said, yes, we have met the word of God. I said, yeah. Full of, you can't know the word. You alone. You are knowing who walks where. Who walks. Your head is full. Renew your mind. The word is there. It's too much.
Be available.
Don't be the person available to for. There's always somebody in every church that people that have problems with leaders that they go to, and the person oftentimes is not a leader. Every church has that kind of person. The people that have issues with leadership will go to that person, and the person oftentimes is not a leader.
is a thorn in the flesh, an agent of Satan that speaks in tongues. Be available. Be a problem solver. Be a problem solver. Be a solution giver. That we may appoint over this business. And you can only be that when you are trained. I put something here, adding to what Brother Hagin said. To get into what God is doing in the earth, find a local church. Pour your long-term eternal commitment to Christ into that place. Let me say it again. To get into what God is doing in the earth, find a local church. That's your long-term commitment for Christ. That you say, oh God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. Pour it there. You will find his fulfillment in that commitment. Pour it there. Empty yourself there. Give yourself there. The days we are in, the coming days, the permissiveness of the past is fading off, is going off. Now we are walking in what God has planned. Local churches, imagine, strengthened, strong, multiplying itself. That is where we are now. So if you are someone that is, you have adjusted to the permissiveness of either toe, things have happened before, that time is running quick and running out fast. You settle in a place, pour your commitment there, because that is what God is doing. Therefore, a Christian who is ready for God's plan in the earth will be pro-church, pro-local assembly, pro-church, pro-God's men, pro-God's men, pro-God's servants. Doesn't mean that God's servants or the church will always be perfect. There is no perfect church. Listen, Jesus' cell group was not perfect. His own cell group. Look at his cell members. Peter. John. I don't want to mention Judas. Just 12 members. And it was not perfect. The church Jesus pastored was not perfect. But you know what? God used them. If you are there looking for perfection, looking for, you know, you will never get into what God is doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Local church is God's plan. And don't follow people who say the local church is God's plan. And they preach against commitment, honor, and submission. They are only using bread to take your stew. You are preaching local church commitment and speaking against honor, loyalty, and submission. You are a 419 preacher. You can't have the wet without the water. That's dismissive. That doesn't make sense. The very core things of the local church is submission, accountability, commitment, honor, loyalty. Commitment. Unconditional commitment. That's what it is. You preach that one. Say, we believe in the local church. Local church. But. Nonsense. You throw your commitment there. That your commitment. Unto Jesus I surrender. That's where to surrender it. Oh Lord, I'm for you. I will burn. Go and burn there. Don't burn on Facebook. Today people are, anytime they are singing, they will put it on Facebook. They are singing in your room. You now put your own phone yourself like this. You say, oh Jesus. What is going on? You want to worship God, you now put your phone, you set your phone yourself to the direction of your bum bum. Are you born again? Are you sure you're born again? The world has so entered into our hearts. I thought worship was meant to be devotional. Jesus said, when you want to pray, Don't say it so that everybody will hear you. He said, if men celebrate you, that is your reward. Is that not what he said? He said, close your door! That means put on your camera. You are in church. You bring a worship session. People will be nervous. I make room for two. Why am I singing that song? I don't know why. Oh, Jesus. Don't want couple like that. Myself and you had a meeting. They were not married though. Just pre-marriage, whatever. They will, in the service, they hold their hands together like this. And I say, oh, Jesus. Ah. My friend said, stop it! What's that? What's this nonsense? They look at that. You worship God. You worship God. Ah! Say, I serve God. Pour your commitment to that assembly. Because the local church is what God is doing in the earth. If you want to know what God is doing in the earth, look at the church. Find yourself there. Pour that your commitment there. Full commitment. That commitment will mean five things. One, you are accountable and submitted to the vision of the house. What I mean by that is, don't run another church in your church. Don't think, oh, we should do it like they do it here. I tell my friends, I know we fellowship together and they've given me a lot of respect out of this world. They'll come to our meetings with their members. And sometimes they, on their pulpit, they'll mention the things I teach for people to listen to. I told them this. If there's anybody in your church, right, who is inclined to listen to me, right, without your permission, don't let the person smell leadership. That is not a loyal person. And the person is listening to, but it's a bad example. A bad example. Don't run. You are not in Saints Community. You are in so-so and so's church. Stay there. That's what you should be doing there. Don't run Saints Community Church there. The pastor is different. I am not the pastor. So, be committed there with the vision of the church. The vision. Every church, local assembly has the emphasis that God wants them to have. That is obvious in Paul's letters. Every letter had their challenges. Unique. None was the same. In some instances, Paul would tell them, this brother, embrace him. Another church, this brother, chase him out. The same Paul. There's no one medicine for everything. In Revelation 2 and 3, all the seven churches had different things that Jesus wanted them to do. So find out what they are doing there and key yourself into it. Now, this is important. For some of us, I'm not putting you down, but you have really been, you've been a nomadic Christian. You've been around churches, you've even pastored some, left some, abandoned some, fought some, they fought you. You've been everywhere. So you have carried, you know, hybrid Christianity. You know what they used to do here. Everything is, see, when you enter a new church, let old things pass away, finally. And whatever they are doing there, pour yourself there. Don't try and replicate your experiences there. It's usually a problem. Number two, and critical, be available to be trained. And that is not just attending the teaching services. Be available to be trained. Trained. How do I know you are being trained? You are at the prayer meetings. You are there when they are doing evangelism. You are there after church, taking instructions about the next service. You are there when they are talking about a special meeting, how they will give and plan. You are there. That's how I know you are being trained. When there are emergencies, they can call you, go and do this. I know you are being trained. You are being trained. You can be rebuked publicly, then you are being trained. You can be corrected publicly, then you are being trained. Your conduct outside the church is not different from your conduct within the church, then you are being trained. You carry the same sense of responsibility to your natural affairs, to your secular work, and you are dutiful, honest, sincere, industrious, because you have to be a good example of that training. To be available to be trained. Number three, and critical. You will honor the relationships you have there. Paul says, for those who are over you in the Lord, those who teach, 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, the elders that rule well, let them be counted worthy of double honor, especially who those who labor in word and doctrine. Say, count them worthy of double honor. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, he says, look among you those who are over in the Lord. He said, revere them highly. Respect them highly. Very highly, sorry, for the work's sake. So make sure that you have, see, forget how the world will call you a man worshiper. The world has never gotten his opinions right. Not about Jesus, not about God, not about the church. Don't expect the world to frame your theology for you. Let the word of God do it. Very highly for the work's sake. Honor the relationships you have there. Respect it. Treat it highly. Number four, and very critical, pray every day for your church. Those who pray for the church and the leaders, they will never be found in gossip or strife. It kills it automatically. Pray every day, every day, every day, every day. I didn't say pray, I say every day for your church. Every day. Every day. Ephesians 6:18, praying always for all the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Paul says, I cease not to make mention of you all time in my prayers. Pray always. And finally, desire to replicate what your pastor is doing. We're in the local church to replicate one another's examples. Desire it. Throw yourself into what God is doing. That's your long-term commitment for Christ. Throw it into the local church. It's what God is doing in the earth. I'll repeat what I said earlier. The time of permissiveness, where different permissible things were done. People living off itinerary ministers, living off meetings, one program to the other. That phase is passing off. It was permissive. Now, much more order is coming to the activities of the body of Christ, particularly in Nigeria and Africa. And we'll have stable people. Because we have a harvest ahead of us. That cannot happen if there's no order. Order in our lives. And I say that to us too. As an individual, not just as a church. Let order return to your life. Ensure that you look away. Shrug off every form of disorderliness in your life. Order in your Christian walk. Order in your relationships, order in your conduct, order in your words, order in your disposition. Because there are times and seasons for everything. There are some seasons where there's a permissiveness. But when that season is over, and you are trying to do what you used to do before, you might meet consequences you never expected. So ensure that you embrace God's word in spite of every situation. This is what God is doing. Throw yourself in it. Throw your commitment in it. Because, listen, if that is not done, you will see those who even before now were probably considered as confused, as backsliding, and they will just get a hold of God's work, get a hold of God's fire, and you see them do exactly what you failed to do. If you will not eat at this point, you will get to a time where the judgment of God will come at you strongly, and you will live a life of regrets of not heeding to God's spirit the time you ought to. You do not need that kind of experience as a believer. So as we enter into that season and period, ensure that you set your life right through your commitment to the local assembly, to what God is doing in the earth, and shut your ears, eyes, and mouth from mockers, scorners of the body of Christ, and focus on what God is doing, and don't be found as either a signpost or a news carrier of what the devil is doing or has done. Throw your hearts to what God is doing. In that local assembly that you are, put your effort there, and you will see that in days to come, a year or two, multiplied efforts will be seen in a great harvest. Not just of souls, harvest of places will be seen in a dimension you had never seen before. If you just add more, and then add more, and add more, and add more, and add more, more commitment, throw yourself much more in time, throw yourself much more in effort. That which you prayed for, that you had hindered by your own conduct, it will come ceaselessly. For many have prayed, and their conduct have stood in the place of the answers to their prayer. Now, as you align your conduct with what you have prayed for, you will see the harvest in such a supernatural dimension, and you will not just be there to see it, you'll be there to also receive it. So walk in that order, and never allow the world to squeeze you into its own mold. Pay attention to the voice that leads you. Ensure that you listen to it and obey it, and don't open your heart to multiple voices and multiple spirits, such that your mind becomes distorted and confusion becomes your lot. You set your heart right and live a life of order. Know where you hear from, know where your commitment is, and pour yourself into it. For God is doing great things in the earth, across nations, across denominations, as the church is being strengthened, because it will never be weakened. It's being strengthened, strengthened in his resolve, strengthened in his training, strengthened in the way he sends out missionaries to pioneer and start. For the times we are in, it's a time for pioneers, and pioneers are grounded men and women. Pioneers are those who sacrifice. Pioneers are those who can let go of many so that they can get God's goal. Pioneers are those who are ready to give everything for God's work to be done in the earth. And we're in that time where it is the pioneers that will be seen across denominations and churches. They will take territories that have never been launched into before. They will pour their hearts into the work of the ministry, and so that they will break barriers, and things that look like jinx, they will break it. They will naturally neutralize many things the enemy has done in places, and the glory of God will be seen. So in these days and season, don't allow the permissive rob you. Get into God's perfect order. Stay where he has put you. Pour your life there, and you will see yourself grow spiritually. You will see every area of your life receive orderliness. Family life, your career, your emotions, your health, everything will receive stability because you have chosen stability over confusion. So in the days that we're in, ensure that your heart is aligning with what you are praying for and your conduct as well. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in tongues just for 1 minute. Pray in tongues just for 1 minute. 1 or 2 minutes. Just pray in tongues.